is Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. So we got down five lines down in the Amud. The Gemara says Amar of Sheshes. So a little background from yesterday, we had a discussion when a person says At V'cham or Kana, that you and the donkey should be Kona. So we had a three-way machlokas, what works. So Rav Nachman said that the individual person's Kona half it, and obviously the donkey is not acquiring anything. And then Rav Hamnuna thought that no one's Kona, even the individual's in Kona, that's lumped together with the Chamor. Rav Sheshes was the most makel, and he says that the individual is going to be Kona everything, even though he was coupled together with the Chamor, the individual's Kona everything. And that's because of Lukla Rashbam, around seven narrow lines down, he says, Rav Sheshes Amar Kona Kol, Adam Yodea Shein Chamor Kona. A person knows, the Makna knows that a donkey doesn't get anything, can't acquire something. So the Gamar Daito, so he was convinced that Shemisha Yuchal Liknos Mishneim Yiknu. He says whichever one of you, whether it's the individual or whether it's the Chamor, should be Kona all this property. So that's the Shita of Rav Sheshes, that the Amar At of a Chamor, the At Kona Hakol. So Gamar wants to know, how does Rav Sheshes know this? What's his basis from the Brisa? So Amar Rav Sheshes Mina Minala. The Tanya, the Brisa tells us that Rabbi Yossi Omer Ein Lachamar Bekishus Elapnimi Shibo. The only bitter part of a cucumber is the inside part. Lefichach, therefore, Kishu Torim Mosiv Al Hachitzon Shibo V'Torim. So when a person takes Truma from this cucumber or from on the other cucumber, he said this part is going to be Truma, this cucumber here is Truma. Now there's a concern that inside this cucumber might be some bitter things, and it won't really be so effective for Truma. So he has to add on to another cucumber some of the outside, which is sweeter. Look at Rashbam here. Kishihu Torim. Kishihu Torim Kishos Echen Mechamishim. We know that there are three levels of Truma. The Deraisa, you could really use that even a Chita Achas is Poteris is Kolakri. One Chita have 5 million kernels of grain. One could exempt everything else. One amount of Truma. But we suggest that a person should give either 1/40th, which is Ayin Yafeh, or 1/50th, which is Beinonis, or 1/60th, which is Ayin Ra. You should give one of those three levels. So Rashbam chooses the Beinonis of 1/50th. So you choose 1/50th of cucumbers. So let's say you have 50 cucumbers, you take out one. Ikal Mechash, there's some concern that Dilma Ikamar Bipnimi. Maybe this cucumber that I picked, I didn't cut it open and taste it, but maybe the inside is bitter. Shebezeh Tfei Me'inach, it might be more bitter than the other cucumbers that are there. So what's the problem? Vein kan echen mechamishim v'masuk. And you don't have 1/50th of the sweet cucumbers. V'nimtza torim min hamar al hamasuk. What turns out is you're taking bitter chuma to exempt all the fruit, all the sweet parts of the cucumber. Hokach, therefore, kishu torim, when you take chuma, when it comes to cucumbers, mosif al hamasuk kibeta mikushus achers. You, just to be safe, you should add on some of the sweet, the outer part of a cucumber, a different cucumber, that should also be chuma, to ensure that you have 1/50th of sweet cucumbers to exempt all the other cucumbers. Fine. Now, what's the concern with this? So look at what the Gemara says now. Amai, why does this work? At v'chamerhu. Is this not the same case? At v'chamer? How so? Look at the Rashbam. V'amai, at v'chamerhu. Sha'amar kishu zeh yehe chuma al elu, that I say this cucumber should be chuma to exempt all the other piles of chuma here, of cucumbers rather. V'cheven diyesh ba mar umasuk, since there's some bitter and some sweet cucumbers, kihecha demar lo chayel be chuma, just like the bitter cucumber, the bitter part of the cucumber, no chumas chal in it, v'lo mivatel shem tevel mina memtes, hachanami ha masuk lo yichal alav shem chuma. It shouldn't work. So what's the conclusion? So even though you're lumping together some bitter and sweet parts of the cucumber, the chuma's good, so too, says Rashbam, the sweet part of the cucumber is going to be considered chuma, and not any of the bitter part, and it's going to be pater as mivad mitevel as a memtes. It's going to exempt the other 49 parts of the cucumber. Ule'el nami, when it comes to the case of at v'chamer, af agav d'chamer lo kona, even though the donkey's not kona, hu kan hakol. So that's the comparison. The bitter and sweet part of the cucumber, only the sweetness is going to be considered truma, not the bitter part. So to at v'chamer, we're going to ignore the bitter part, if you will, the chamer, but the at, the individual, is going to be kona, everything. And this is Rav Sheshes, his proof. So the Gemara says, no, you can't bring a proof from that case of chuma, because shiny hasam, it's different when it comes to chuma. Of course we allow the chuma to work. Dimidaraisa chuma mal yasahi. Really, Midaraisa, if you took truma from something, a davar mar, onto a davar masuk, it would be an effective truma. Why? Dama Rabbi Yilah, minayin l'torim min hara, al hayafesh, a chumasa truma. How do you know if you choose the bad part of the fruit for the truma as opposed to the good part, that's still an effective truma? Ideally, you should choose the best part. The Gemara Brachos talks about when you pick a truma, it should be a full fruit, a full something. The best part should be given truma. That's the ideal. But if you chose the bad, it still works, Midaraisa. Shenemar, as it says, V'lo sisu alav chet. You shouldn't have any chet. Barimachem es chelbo mimenu. When you take off the chelbo, the fats, the best part, you shouldn't have any chet. Now, vim eino kadosh, if it wasn't a kedusha, if no truma was chal, so nisias chet lama, what type of chet is there? So it must be, mikan l'torim min hara al hayafe. The person chooses the bad part as the truma to exempt the other parts which are good and now chulin for me to eat in, chumasa truma. It's a good truma. Granted, there's some level of chet that took place because you chose bad produce for the truma, but still a good truma. So now that's why this case, when it comes to the cucumbers, the mar and the masuk, it's good. Even the mar, even the bitter part of the cucumber would be a good truma. That's why it works. As opposed to the case of ad v'chamor, the chamor doesn't work at all. The chamor can't be kone anything, and you can't compare mar and masuk to the case of at v'chamor. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amr le Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi. Masir Rav Avia Tuyufta asks a Tuyufta from the following case. Maisa b'chamesh nashim. There's a maisa once with five ladies. Ubahen shtei achayos. Among them were two sisters. V'liket, a man came along, and echad kilkala shiltenim. V'shila henaisa. A person gathered together some figs, and they were there, so the ladies. V'shel shviz haisa, and it was from Shemitah. V'amar hare kulchen mukudeshes li v'kalkalazos. And this is going to be, forget the idea of the Shvius right now, but he says, here's this basket of figs, and I'm going to make Kaddish all of you, Hare Kulchen Mekudeshes Li, B'Kal Kalazos, with this basket of figs, I'm going to make Mekudeshes all five of you. V'Kabla Echam Hem Aydei Kulan, and one lady accepts it on behalf of all five. So what's the halacha? Amu Chachamim Ein Achayos Mekudeshes. Chacham say the sisters can't be married, because you can't marry two sisters, as we know. And so the Gemara is Medayik from the Brisa. Achayos hu de'ein mekudashos, hanachios mekudashos. The sisters are not going to be married, but the three other non-related ladies will be considered married. So why? Amai at v'chamarhu. Isn't this like the same thing where the two sisters can't marry and the three ladies you can marry, but you lump them together? So you should say that that's a proof that that does work, even though that the two sisters are going to be ineffective, the other three still stand. So to at v'chamor, even though the chamor can't be kona, the at, the individual, is able to be kona, is able to be kona the property, so too by the case of kedushin. So the Gemara says, this is support for Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara says, Amar lei hainu no. The reason why this works, not because this is a proof for Rav Sheshes, the reason why this case of the five ladies works, according to all opinions, is because the Chaze Rav Huna bar Avya Bechalma. So Rav Huna saw a vision, he had a dream, and the Mosiv Rav Avya Tiufta, and he saw the dream, this conversation. So La Mo Kimna was the dream. Did the dream not tell him the following? There was a particular case, Damar Haruya Michem Libya Tiskadeshli. The man didn't say, if all five of you marry me, he says, any of you five who are Roy Labia should be married to me. So since he qualified his statement, he was in essence excluding the two sisters. That was already part of his statement. And it's not a case of Atav Achamar lumping them together. Whoever's Roy Labia, that meant the two sisters are out of the picture, and he just wants to marry the other three, Nachios, and therefore has no bearing on this conversation of At Vachamar. Yumar now has a Maisa here. On the bottom, Hahu Damar Le Levisahu, a person says to his wife, Nichsei lecha ulvanecha. The property is going to go to you as my wife and to your children. So Amar of Yosef, kanta mechta. So she gets half. Even though she might have 18 children, she gets 50% and the other 50% go to the 18 kids to split it up. So how does he get it? You would imagine they should all split it evenly, that she should be one and the other 18. So between 19 people, then they should split it evenly. So how does he know this? So Amar of Yosef, Mana Mina Aminallah. How do I know this? The Tani, the Baraisa, tells us, the Rebbe Omer, based on the pasuk, it says "Va'yisol Aaron ulevanav," that should be for Aaron and his children. This is referring to lechem apanim. The lechem apanim, the 12 loaves of bread that they would split up each Shabbos. So it says it goes to the Aaron and to his children. And the drasha is mechtzel Aaron u'mechtzel levanav. Aaron gets half. Aaron gets six for himself, and his sons, the two sons, split the other six. So he ends up getting Aaron gets six, and the two sons get three each. That's what. So this is the din. So too, when it comes to this, when you speak to the wife, when you specify the wife, you get, and my kids, your kids also, she gets half, and the other kids is considered another entity. They get the other half to split amongst them. That's his proof from Lechem Apanim. So Amalei Abaye says, Bishma Hasam, I understand your proof that Aaron bar chalukahu lahachi prat bei rachmana lemishkal palga. I understand the case of Aaron because Aaron was he was right to take from the lechem upon him. He was a kohen. He was a kohen gadol. So the fact that he singled out Aaron means he gets 50%. But he can't bring the raya to an isha. An isha's lav bar sirushahi. So she's not a bar sirusha. The son, they're bar sirusha. So she's not a bas Yerusha, so why are you giving her the upper hand that she's going to get 50%? The sons are really the Yerushim, not her. So the Gemara says, Daya shetitel ke'echad min abanim. It's enough that she gets zero, because she's not a bas Yerusha. It's enough that she gets one equal chalek to all the other sons. To give her 50%, that doesn't make sense. You can't compare that to mechsel Aaron and mechsel abanav, because Aaron was roi to take the lechem upon him. So the Gemara says, Eini, is this really true? That we only should give her a one chalek, not a 50%. We should give her 50%, and we're going to bring you a few rayas for this. V'ha uvda havi ben Narda. There's once a case in Narda. V'agve Shmuel palga b'tiveria, and then he collected. He gave 50%. This such a case happened that the wife and the children should split the property, and they gave the wife 50%. And similar case. V'Tiveria v'Agva Rabbi Yochanan Palga. A similar case happened in Tiveria. Rabbi Yochanan gave 50% to the wife. So these are two cases that we actually did give 50% to the wife, like Rabbi Yosef said. V'Su, moreover, Ki Yasa Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, when Rabbi Yitzchak came back from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar, he said, Hahu d'mei klila d'shadu d'mei malka avulei v'asas struge. A little confusing what's going on here. But what I think is going on here, when he said, the king said, that the value of the crown, that they want to start fundraising for the crown, it should be incumbent upon the places Avule Vastugi, these people. So look what the Rashbam writes here. Rashbam says, go up five lines towards the end of the line, to make Klila, Keser Malchus. The price, the cost of the crown, Deshadu Be Kezar, Hitila Al Elu La Sosa. He required these individuals to fund the making of the crown. Avulei v'astardigi, says Rashbam, Ashirim v'sarim, wealthy people. Avulei are wealthy people, and astardigi are the ministers. He quotes a pasuk in Megillah. The Gemara Megillah proves this point. So now he says it's a common time both of you guys to fund the keser. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rebbe, Nisvu avulei palga v'astaruge palga. So they should split it 50-50. Even though Rashbam says that the Avuli are wealthy people, and Astartige, even though they're ministers, they're not as wealthy as the Ashirim, since they said both these parties have to pay 50-50. So we see this concept that whenever you say one person, or at least one unit, and another unit, it's always 50-50. That's what we're trying to draw from all of this. And so the Gemara says, this last case of the Keser Malchus, Hachi Hasha, wait one second. Initially, when the king had made his decree that they have to fund his keser, it was really on the Ashirim, the wealthy people, had to really pay for it. That was the initial decree. Now, the Astruge, the ministers, perhaps because political reasons, wanted to help the wealthy people, we'll help you support it. So they started getting involved now, though they didn't have to really get involved. So now what happened was, he explains, so then the king got word that these ministers were helping support the paying the funding money for the keser. So Hasha, now he says, now he changed this ksav and said, now both of you have to pay for it. So this is not a proof that in general, when you say two parties have to split it 50-50, so this last riot is not really a riot. It's a unique case of what happened. But the previous cases seem to be clear that whenever you say that I want my wife and your children to have the property, it means 50% to the wife and 50% to the other children. So the Gemara says, wait a second, is it really true? Last few lines of the Amud here. The main resistor suggests that the Hanu Palga Vahani Palga, they really give 50-50 to each party, the wife and to them to the children. So they ask the Gemara. Masr Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira asks, HaOmer Harei Alai Mincha. A guy says, I want to take upon myself to bring a mincha offering of flour. Meya Isaron. So I want to bring an amount of 100 Isaron to the base of Migdash. Lahavi Bishnei Kalim, to bring them and take two Kalim. Maybe Shishim Bikli Achad, Varbam Bikli Achad. So you take 60 in one kli, and you put the other 40 Isaron in the other kli. So what's the question here? V'im hevi chamishim b'kli achad v'chamishim b'kli achad. If, b'dyeved, you brought 50 in one kli, 50 in the other, you split it evenly, half and half. So yatsa, you yotsa if you bring it that way as well. Now the Gemara asks, im hevi in l'chachilalo. Only if you, b'dyeved, brought it that way, 50-50, is it effective. But l'chachila, you should do 60 and 40. Now, v'isakadaitach, if you really think, anytime a person says such a thing, you always split it 50-50, v'isakadaitach, kol ki agavne, every situation like this, palgo palgahu, you split it 50-50, so then, afilu l'chachila nami. Therefore, even l'chachila, when the guy says, I want to bring 100 isarom, we should say, l'chachila, you could do 50 in one kli, 50 in the other kli. So it must be that we don't do 50-50 always. So to back to our case of the woman, if I say I want my wife and children to have all my property, we don't say 50 to the wife and 50 to the children. Mara says, no. You can't bring me a raya from this random case of Menachos. Hachi hashta, let's understand this case now. Hasam there by the case of Menachos. Anansadi, we testified, the high gavra mikara, the carbon gadol kamachave, and this guy really wanted to bring a very large carbon mincha. V'hai the kamar b'shnei kelim, why did he say two kelim then? The yada the lav shar lasuya b'kliachad. So he knew he couldn't bring all in one kli. There's a klal, only a certain amount of size kelim that exists in the base of Mikdash. The largest kli available for mincha is 60 isaron. That's all he could bring, that's the biggest. He wanted to bring 100 size kelim, but it doesn't exist. So what's going on here in the Gemara is, he wants to get as much as possible in the largest kli, so that's 60, and then whatever's left over he'll bring in the other kli. But not that 50-50, you can't bring, there's not a case of 50-50, he wanted to bring all 100 in one kli. So we'll read Rashbam in a second just to say this more clear. But either way, the Gemara says, Hasam again, Anansadi, we testify, the Hagavra, this person who made the Nadav of Mincha, Meikar initially wanted to bring the carbon gadol, Kamechavin, a large carbon, Avahai the Kamar, why'd he say then Shnei Kalim? That sounds like he wants to split it up. Because the Yadda, he knows, he knows it does, they don't have such a big kli to have 100 Isaron in the base of Migdash. So he says, "Kama de'ev shalasui ma'isina." I'm going to bring the largest kli possible, which is 60, and the remaining part is going to be 40. That's what he says, and this therefore has no connection to the previous discussion where we would say palga palga when it comes to the Yerusha. We don't need to read Rashbam, I don't think. Gemara says, "In the end of the day, how do we paskin?" Gemara says, "Hilchasa." Bottom line is, "Kavase the Rav Yosef b'sade." Inyan Umechsa. We pass like Rav Yosef. This again, I said this incorrectly yesterday. Look what Rashbam says. Hilchasa kavasi Rav Yosef besade mishum de bechuli gemara rabba Rav Yosef hilchasa karabba. I said this differently yesterday. Really, we always passing like rabba. I think I said this yesterday here. Maybe it was my other shiur. I don't remember. But we pass like rabba all over Shas. This is the three exceptions where we pass like Rav Yosef, which is these three cases. What are the three cases? So first case is the sade. Rashbam refers us back to Babasa Daf Yud Beis, the first parak of the Masech there, when it comes to a person selling a whole bar mitzvah situation there, where Rav Yosef has a certain halacha, we pass like Rav Yosef in that case. With regards to Inyan, which is the discussion of when a person could retract, when you're doing a kinin, when could you retract? As long as you're Osik Ba'osa Inyan, you still have the right to retract on a certain acquisition. That's the second case. And the third case is Mechsa, our case here, when you say, I'm giving to my wife and children, it means palga to the Isha, and the other palga is going to be split amongst the children. So we do paskin like Rav Yosef in this case.
That doesn't have any application to Akta Chamor, right? It's just kind of separate.
Yeah, separate halacha, exactly, separate halacha. It's similar, that's probably why it was brought, it's a similar type of case, but it wasn't brought as a continuation of that sugya. Gemara now says, Ahu de Shadar Piska de Shirai Lubesa. A person sent some nice Rashi said Rashbam says chatichos meil, some piece of cloth or a coat, and the stam shalach lechalik lebnei beis. He sent a nice cloth to his house So his understanding was to have it split. That was, even though he didn't say that, that was understood. So how do you split it? Amar Rabbi Ami, haruyin lebanim banim, ruin lebanos banos. Whatever materials are going to be fit for a man's clothing go to the sons, and whatever is fit for the ladies' clothing will go to the ladies to be split evenly amongst each party. This is all true if there is no kala in the house. But if there is a kala, val isle kalasa, the kalasa shader. But if he has a kala in the house, so everything's going to be sent to the kala, all her, and it's not going to be split amongst the other daughters. And if he has single daughters who are not married, then he wouldn't leave behind, he wouldn't ignore his own daughters to give to his daughter-in-law, so in which case they would split it only amongst the daughters and not amongst the kala. So that's the halacha. Okay, there's a debate in the Achronim here. When we say a unmarried daughter, does that mean a woman who was never married or even a woman who was divorced or widowed? That as well. That's a discussion within the Achron. So Gemara now says, Hahu damerle nichsai livonai. Person says, my property should go to my sons. Livonai, literally my sons. And this individual, havale bara ubarta. He didn't have two sons, but he had a son and a daughter. So he said, banai in the plural, mi kari inche libara banai. Do you refer to your one son as sons? To give it to my sons. Now in English it wouldn't make much sense. You don't call your sons sons. But in Aramaic, I guess it's plausible. So when he says banai, did he really mean everything goes to my one and only son? Oh, dimalo kari inish libara banai. A person doesn't refer to his one son as banai, and lemoshcha libarta b'matana kasi. And he really meant to give his daughter also some of this gift. That's the Shaila. So the Gemara brings a Raya, Amar Abaye, Tashma, Ubnei Don, Chushim. So you see, Chushim's one son, he's called Bnei. The sons of Don was called Chushim. So you see, one son can be called Bnei, can be called sons. And therefore, a person, when he says, give my Nichsai to Banai, he meant to his one only son. So Amar Le Rava, Rava says, maybe that's not the understanding of the Pasuk. Dilma Kidetana de Bechizkia, Shayu Merubin Kechushim Shakana. No, Chushim is not a name. Chushim is actually an adjective of the Bnei Don. That the children of Don were like Chushim. He had many sons. What's Chushim mean? Shakana, the Chushim of a kana of a reed. Rashbam explains here, it's around seven narrow lines up, five narrow lines up. Chushim shakana shegadalim harbe biyachav, where the reeds grow in clusters next to each other. That's how large Don was. Or Rashbam says, Inami ale kanim o kishrei kanim krim kain. I'm not sure the difference, maybe the leaves or maybe the knots of them. Either way, it's referring to a large family that he had, and it's not referring to a one that's named Chushim.
Is there a Chushim Ben Dan, though?
There's a Chushim Ben Dan, yeah. It's a Gemara in Sota that talks about him. So, not sure what to do with that, but yeah, granted. He's the one who killed Esav, yeah, he knocked off his head. Okay, the Gemara now says, rather, before we go right to the Gemara, look at Tosus for a second. Tosus says, this Pasuk appears in Parsha Vayechi. So now, Tosa says, Afa Pisha Kishiyarad Limitraim Adayin Lohayu Labanim Kokach. He didn't have that many kids yet done. Only 70 people in total of people going down. It wasn't like the Chushim that Shibakana. But he says, and Tosa's Mikomakam Nikra Kainal Shem HaAsid. He was called Chushim because in the future he's going to have many children. Kidadarish Asher Sham Shemos Altikri Shemos Ella. I don't remember the Josh exactly. But either way, from that proof in the Gemara, the names are based on what it was going to be. So that can't be a raya from the Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. So how do we know? So the Gemara goes back and says, Ella Amar Rava Uvnei, there's a Pasuk that appears in Bamidbar, Uvnei Falu Eliyav. The chosen of Falu is who? Eliyav. Eliyav, yeah. So we see Eliyav is one child, but he's being called Bnei. So we see even one son is called multiple sons. Now the idea might be, I'm just thinking right now, is because that son's going to hopefully produce more sons in all these generations, that's why he's being called Bnei Eliyav, even though he's actually one son, he's going to continue a whole legacy of that family. But we see a proof that one son can be called Bnei. Comes along now, Rav Yosef Amar, Ubnei Esan Azariah, the children of Esan are who? One son Azariah. So we see one son is called Bnei. So my brother-in-law was over Shabbos. He said there's a kasha from this Gemara here that how come Rav Yosef comes on second and he brings a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim? Once he brought a pasuk, Rav brings a pasuk from Chumash. So what good is the second pasuk from Ksuvim? It's not as strong as a pasuk in the Torah. So he suggested that since Rav Yosef was blind, and the Gemara in Gittin says Dvarim Shebechsav Efshar Lomim Baal Peh, he couldn't say Baal Peh. So that's why. But a pasuk in Ksuvim, you can say Baal Peh. That's what was his suggestion. So I said back to him, the Gemara Megillah talks about Rabbi Meir once traveling, and it was Purim, and they didn't have a Megillah. So Rabbi Meir on his own wrote the whole Megillah's Esther down in Klaf, and he used that. The Gemara says, how are you allowed to write it down? You have to be able to look Baal Peh. You can't do it. You have to look at a source, Iksav, to trace from. So the Gemara says Rabbi Meir was different because for him, he was able to see everything. He had a photographic memory. He was able to see everything in front of him. So he was unique. He was able to say and write things Baal Peh. So I said, Rav Yosef, the Gemara tells us in Brachos and Horios, he was Sinai, which meant if he is the epitome of Sinai, he also probably has some level of photographic memory. So it was all in front of him as well. Even though he was blind, he still was able to, he knew everything, he saw everything, in theory. So so in which case, he would be able to quote Psukim Baal Peh. So I'm not sure at that point. That's a good question. I don't know if he became blind later on or not. But so my suggestion was that we know Rav Yosef became sick. What?
I think it was later on that him and Rav Shush spoke about the
rabbis. Okay. So then he saw everything. It was all. So I suggested we know Rav Yosef became sick later on. He started to lose his memory. So maybe this was at that point we started to forget it. So he didn't have that super memory at that point anymore. Then we got to a whole other discussion whether or not a Suma is chayiv in mitzvahs or not. We know there's machlok, we paskin that Suma is pater mitzvahs, but he's chayiv in lo sase. So he has to keep lo sase. He can't violate averus. But what about an Isser Aseh? So the Dvarim Shebechsav, Efshar Lomar Baal Peh, is an Isser Aseh. It doesn't say Los Aseh, but it's based on drashas that you can only say Ksav, Ksav, and we learn, but you can't do a Baal Peh. That's an Isser Aseh. So I came across a Rabbi Kivager in Hilcha Shechita that says an Isser Aseh applies to a Suma as well. What's his Raya? Because he says that... the Gemara says in Yevamos about how to get a Mitzri Sheni, you have to wait till the Mitzri Shlishi to be part of the Kaal. So it says, why not have a Suma marry a Mitzri, which is only an Isra Aseh, and it doesn't keep Isra Aseh, so he's allowed to marry a Mitzri and then have the child will be a Jew. So the fact that the Gemara never suggests that, he proves that Isra Aseh does apply to a Suma. He cannot marry a Mitzri. And he brings this as a point as to why a Suma is allowed to do Shechita or something. I forget exactly the whole context. All right, either way, it was an interesting conversation based on this Gemara here.
In English, has an interesting thing. They say, possibly, that the first pasuk is from the Torah, so that's really Hashem speaking. So you can't say, well, what do people normally mean when they say this? Because that's Hashem saying. Whereas in Divrei Hayom, that's a little closer to...
Lashon B'nei Adam. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Very good. Okay, the Gemara now says one last point, a very important point before the Mishnah. Hahu damar lehu nichse levonai. So he says, my property is going to go to my children. Havale bara ubar bara. He had one son, he also had a grandson. So when he said to my banai, is he including his grandson as well? So Gemara asks, kari inish bar bra bara. Does a person call his grandson a son? Oh, lo, or people don't call the grandson a son. So Rav Chiviva Amar Karu Inish Labar Bra Bra. A person does call his grandson a son, but Mar Bar Rav Ashi Amar Lo Karu Inish Labar Bra Bara. A person does not call his grandson a son. And Tani Kavasi Demar Bar Rav Ashi. There's a brisa that supports the last opinion that we don't call a grandson a son. And the brisa says Hamoder Hana Mi Banim Mutar Bivnei Banim. If I say my son can't get Hana from me, my grandson may get Hana from me. So this becomes a very important Gemara they discuss when it comes to the halacha, the relationship between a grandson and a son, the sugya of Bnei Banim Harehim Kibanim. This they bring as a proof that Bnei Banim are not Kibanim. It gets into the halachas of Kibud, of a Kavod of a Zakein, of honoring a grandfather, and halachas of Puravu. This is a very, very important Gemara with regards to that discussion. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us on the bottom now. A person leaves behind big sons and little sons, younger ones. If the gdolim went ahead and appreciated, enhanced the property, that enhancement has to be split evenly. It's not fair because the gdolim took control, because it's still owned by the estate. The katanim also get to split any of that revenue. Im amru, but if they say, the gdolim say, ru mashiniach abba hari anu osin v'ochlin hishbichul atma. But if the Gedolim say to the Ketanim, see, whatever Abba gave us, we're going to now put an extra effort. So right from the outset, they said, we're doing this for ourselves. So then they would be able to keep all the Shevach on their own. V'chein ha'isha, the same holds true with the woman, shishbichas and nechasim, when she enhances the property, which property is referring to when after the husband dies, so now she goes down to the property and starts fixing it. So, hishbichas and nechasim, hishbichas and emsa, has to be split evenly amongst all the various yorshim. The Gemara is going to explain this in greater detail tomorrow. But Imam, if she says to the other Yorshim, you should see, guys, whatever my husband left me, I'm doing my own. She is able to keep all the revenue for herself. So Gemara says, we'll go to the top of Kuf Mem Dalid. Amar Rav Chaviva Brei Derav Yosef, Brei Derava, Mishmei Derava. Lo shanu ela sheshavchu nechasim machmas. Nechasim, this is only true if they did it based on other nechasim. We'll see Rashbam in a second. So what's going on? Look at the Rashbam in the bottom, four lines up. Lo shanu dishbichel emsa. The only time we taught that they have to split the revenue evenly is only ela sheshavchu nechasim machmas nechasim. Lo tircha v'lo tzia mishalem klum. When they didn't put any cost on their own, ela minich se'avien shachu polin bishbichel nechasim. They took from the bank, their father's bank, and they hired workers from their father's money. So they did nothing other than hire a worker. There was no tircha. That's when you say you split it right in the middle. Aval, says Rashbam, machmas atzmam, shechafru v'natu, they did all the plowing on their own and the digging and the planting, v'sachu mishalhem, and they paid workers from their own pocket, v'lo mishal avim, not from their father's, oz hashevech la'atzman. In that case, even though they never said anything to the other brothers in the beginning, once they pay out of pocket on their own, they get to keep all the shevach to themselves. So Gemara says, Eini, is this really true last two lines of the Amud here? V'ha'amar Rabbi Chanina, afilu lo aniach lem avien, ela odaini haschar lemsa. Even if the father only leaves behind odaini, which Rashbam says in the top of Kuf Mem Dalid, which is bor v'kisuyav, which refers to the pits and the covering, v'sochen osa la'ashko sadas mei meimav, and they rent it out to water all the properties from the water, they have to split evenly the cost. V'ha odaini demachmas atzmahu. Doesn't the odaini come machmas atzmahu? So what's the shaila here? Rashbam says machmas atzmahu shemishamrim oso agedolim, that the gedolim are the ones watching it. V'tzrichen lamod al gabav pen yahefker l'chol shavimayim. The gedolim have to stand guard over this well, lest anybody come and take advantage of this. So we see, even though they're paying out of pocket, they're wasting their own time, we still see that any revenue they're making on this is going to be split evenly. So why is that fair? We said before, if it comes out of pocket, then they don't have to split it. They could keep all the revenue to themselves. So the Gemara says, Shaini odainu, the case of a bore in a well is different. Dilinitirusahu davida, all you really need is a basic protection of the bore. V'afilu k'tam nami matim entirely, and even k'tanim are able to watch over the well. So Rashbam says, "Dilinitirusa avida, it's just for protection. Einan tzrichen lhotzi mishalem klum alav elo l'shamro, v'gam haktan michol l'shamro. You don't need to pay much. It's not really considered out of pocket. Even a minor is able to watch over a well, and therefore that's not considered mishal atmo, and therefore it is split evenly down the middle. Okay, we'll stop here. Everybody have a wonderful day.